I'm here in Swansea, sitting on top of the hill. It's really blizzardy outside. It's gray. It's overcast. Needless to say, it's also raining. But I get a nice view of the city. Yesterday I flew into Bristol. That was quite a long flight from Budapest, and then Trakanath picked me up and we drove here. There was sort of an unexpected evening program, so I ended up going quite late, really, with class and meeting with devotees and having some kirtans. Although I've got a bit of a cold, something I really didn't want to pick up, because colds tend to be the things that really take my energy more than anything else. And I'm just about to go down to the temple restaurant, which is really doing well, considering this is a town right on the west side of Wales. And it's not a big city, but it's a city. It's just increasing. Dandakrit Prabhu, who's the restaurant manager, telling me how this year's sales is 20% over last year's. The restaurant maintains itself and also maintains the beautiful temple room that's above it. Mahavidya Prabhu did it. It's on the level of Soho Street's temple room. Very, very beautiful arches and pillars, molded pillars. Along all of the walls, and a very stunning altar. The altar is very nicely done, and our Panchatattva that was made in New Brajadam is there, and they really, really looked stunning. They looked beautiful. I could see that they're really pleased by the book distribution that's going on here, and the preaching itself. There was a very nice Mayapur background, and that background also had the large temple and planetarium that Srila Prabhupada had planned. So it was a very beautiful darshan. I'm just going back there for lunch. A lot of devotees have come. Some devotees came from Ireland. Many devotees are here from Soho Street. And then there's quite a few devotees who are living in further west. Jamuna came down with her boys, along with Satnam, Sudevi, and their children. Satyabhama was here, and Vijayagaravinda, who, although he lives in Dublin, he was here, so he also came, and it was nice to see them. Over the next few days, I'll be here today, tomorrow, and I'll fly back Sunday morning. I hope to be able to spend a little more time with them, as well as with the local devotees over here. This evening we'll have kirtan and class, and the same goes for tomorrow. As I'm sitting here, this is a nice terraced house. It's actually very nice. It's very paka and clean inside. It's Sadashiva Prabhu's place. I'm looking over the roofs of many of the other terrace houses below, and there's a crow sitting on the chimney of the house opposite. Obviously, he's being warmed up by the warm air that's coming up, although simultaneously that air, which is poisonous, so it's also poisoning him, and simultaneously he's getting drenched by the rain and blown by the wind. Something just like material life, isn't it? From one direction we're getting some happiness, but simultaneously from all around we're being punished by the elements. And that same sort of source of happiness is also the source of pain and misery. Let me answer a few questions. Here is one from Bhakti Whoopsie from Romania. And she says, if according to my perception I have perceived from local authorities an offense to higher authority, how should I deal? Well, the basic principle of offense is that it should not be left unaddressed. And the basic principle of authority is that authority should be respected. Therefore, one should respectfully approach authority, ask what it is that one is seeing, ask for some clarification. Is it really an offense or not? Because that's the perception, but it may not be. And try to clarify the result of what one sees. Offenses should be dealt with either by leaving a place, which is not a good thing to do. If I'm living in a certain town, then why should I leave the association of those devotees? Of course, the very extreme case of killing is not practiced. And the other one is to discuss. So we should first discuss and inquire and clarify. And if we really think that something improper is going on, then one can further appeal to higher authority. And even that should be done with the knowledge of authorities. So in dealings of Vaishnavas, generally many principles apply, and many of these principles should be observed, as in this case, respect for authority, as well as addressing offenses. And another question from Jagannath Sutta Prabhu, who's saying, how much time should we put into preserving devotees we already have in ISKCON? Excuse me for laughing. It sounds to me like we're going to cook them down and keep them in jars, and how long does it take to do that? Preserving devotees, that's what you usually do. You preserve apples and you make jam out of it, or you preserve chilies and make pickles. In any case, the principle here is that we should maintain what we have. So we should maintain the devotees that we have, and that requires time and energy. Of course, devotees who are already in ISKCON, one of their characteristics should be is that they're good at self-preservation or preserving themselves. That is why they're long-time practitioners. They know how to maintain their own Krishna consciousness, how to overcome their own problems, what to speak of helping other younger devotees do the same. But, of course, exceptional circumstances always come up, and devotees always need assistance. So yes, we need to put in the time and energy that it requires to maintain devotees. How much time? Whatever time it requires to maintain them. Sometimes it requires no time, because devotees are self-sufficient, and sometimes it requires a lot of time. I want to feel comfortable that when in time of need, devotees won't ration their time and energies for me, but will give me whatever it is that I need. And a longer question from a Bhaktin Bhartri from London, basically saying, a lot of Guru Maharajas visit and give classes. She thinks about initiated, but by whom? They are very learned, sincere, humble. How do I know who is right for me, or should I be asking, am I good enough for any of them? Yes, that's the first question to ask. Are you qualified? And one qualification of accepting a spiritual master is that you know how to answer these questions. So if you don't know who is your guru, if you don't know what is the prime qualification of that person who becomes my Diksha Guru, then better read Srila Prabhupada's books more, get further instruction, and Guru Krishna Prasade Pai. When you understand, then Krishna will direct you. He will say, here's your spiritual master. And that will be confirmed by the voice of the Vaishnavas. There's that crow again, sitting in that chimney. He's about to fall in. He's not only leaning forward, but he's trying to dry his feathers at the same time. It's funny, it's still raining, and he's trying to get dry. Hare Krishna, so much for material life. But before we go, here's a joke. Although it isn't immediately in connection with Krishna consciousness, but here goes. A polar bear walks into a bar and says to the bartender, "I'll have a vodka." I mean, polar bears shouldn't be drinking, especially not Krishna conscious ones. But probably this guy needs a little pickup because all of the icebergs that he's used to being on have been melted by global warming. Anyway, and after long pause, he says, "And a tonic." And the bartender asks him, "What's with the big pause?" And the bear responds, "I don't know. I've always had them."